Welcome to the Azure Podcast, a weekly podcast to keep you up to date on what's new on our cloud platform, Microsoft Azure. Your hosts, Cynthia Crane, Evan Basilik, Suji DeMello, Kendall Roden, Kel Teeter, and Russell Young discuss a different service or solution on each show, with subject matter experts to explain how to get started, how different services work, and how to make decisions in tricky scenarios. You can find out more about our podcast at azpodcast.com or follow us on Twitter at Azure Podcast.
Hello again, and welcome to the Azure Podcast. This is episode number 369. Wow, that's a lot of episodes. This is about learning Azure SQL, this is being recorded on Thursday, March 18th. And we have our special guests today are Bob Ward and Anna Hoffman. And they're going to be talking about some of the cool, educational things that they've been rolling out and recording. But before we get to that, I've got Kale here and Kendall here as well. Guys, what do we have for news today?
I got a few things.
You can go, Kale. Also, I was just going to say, Sajid jumped in. So welcome.
Just Sajid. In time for I'm sure he's got breaking news that he's got a.
Just in time for your co-host.
Yes. All right. So I just got two of them this week. I'll let the others go. The first one is around Azure Synapse. So the analytics solution that we have in Azure, there's actually a nice blog post here about customers who want to try this for free. There's some free quantities available until the end of July. You just sign in with your Azure Synapse account, and it's basically limited to the serverless SQL pool and the Apache Spark pool. And obviously there's limits around how much data you can store and compute hours, but it's a nice way to get started and, no cost. There is some limits around which subscription types, so you can take a look at the blog post for that, but it actually looks like pretty far reaching, like pay as you go, Azure Enterprise, all that stuff's in there. So pretty nice stuff. The second thing is around national security. So this is one from our CVP, Tom Keene, about the work we've been doing to enable Azure workloads specifically for mission critical and specifically government and national security type workloads. So it walks through some of the capabilities and some of the things that we've been investing in from the Azure side to make that something that's feasible there, right? With the different open source from Apache, the different things we're working on with Intel and DARPA. So cool stuff there. It also mentions the Azure Space stuff, which is pretty hot in the news right now as well for the work we're doing there.
Yeah, so I just wanted to highlight kind of more one of the blog posts that we recently came out with. Pradeep Nair, the vice president from Microsoft, or one of them, talked a lot about our commitment moving forward to availability zones. So we obviously know there are some services that are kind of those foundational, fundamental services that no matter where we pop up a new data center, it's going to be included. And so now they're really making sure that Azure Availability Zones is one of those first-class citizens for all of our new data center regions. So basically, we've committed that by the end of 2021, every country we operate a data center region in will have Azure Availability Zones. There's a couple of other updates in here. Like over the past 12 months, we've enabled availability zones in five data center regions, just added Brazil South this week. And then basically all of our foundational services within Azure, all of the mainstream kind of most highly consumed, I'm thinking things like App Service personally, things like that will have AZs in need. So that's just something to keep in mind moving forward. We're really making a commitment to that. And I think a lot of that comes with the launch of the well-architected framework on Azure for resiliency and just making sure you're getting full advantage of what the cloud provides. And so with that, I think this is just spearheading our efforts to make just make Azure a more stable place for people to run workloads. And I think that's great. So I just wanted to call that out.
Yeah, that is awesome, because without getting into the pain of recent history, outages are a thing. They will always be a thing. And so leveraging this stuff is great for our customers to increase their resiliency.
And like, I will say too, like availability zones are great, but just remember, like you still want to have some, cross-region capability, yeah, most likely, right? And so like, I think that's another really important thing to call out. We have some customers who talk about availability zones, which frankly, in things like AKS can add complexity, right? When you think about workload scheduling and stuff, but just keep in mind, a lot of outages do happen at the regional level. So this isn't necessarily the last layer of defense. If anything, it's maybe one of the first. So
do the sovereign clouds also have availability zones Black Forest and Mooncake and all that? They also have multiple.
I don't know how prevalent and broad there across all of them, but that it's not a public only thing, I guess is the way that I would say it. I'd have to go look at the individual ones. So, cool. Well, no. So with that news, I guess at this point, let's hand it over to our special guest. Bob, Anna, can you guys introduce yourselves and share what you do at Microsoft?
I think Anna's hand was to me. Is that what that meant, Anna? Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, Evan, thanks. I've certainly known Evan for a very long time, and great to meet all of you other folks here in this podcast. First time on camera. That's about my third time, I think, on your podcast.
Yeah. Maybe
my
first time. Debating, on camera. Yeah.
Yeah. I think I've come here and talked about SQL Linux and containers and maybe SQL 19. I'm Bob Ward. I'm a principal architect with the Azure Data Team, focusing on SQL and over the last year and a half on Azure SQL. The funny fact is I turn it over to Anna, which she constantly reminds me is this is my 28th year at Microsoft, which, as you can imagine, is longer than Anna has been alive. So, Anna, turn it back to you.
That's always a fun one. I once pulled that out on stage at a keynote, and he wasn't expecting that. So that was fun. Maybe slight really violation of some policy. But I'm Anna Hoffman. I'm super excited to be here. This is my first time on the show. I didn't know we were going to be on camera, so this is what I wear when I'm not on camera. but I'm a data applied scientist / program manager. We all wear lots of hats. On the Azure Data Team, also focusing on Azure SQL. And it's been a journey working with people like Bob, who've been around for a really long time, and just learning so much and sharing as much as we can. And we're excited to be here.
Yeah, thanks for coming. And if he ever gives you grief, just tell him, you stayed on premises for a little before you fully bought into this cloud thing.
yeah, it's true.
Yeah, so.
I still do some of that.
So we wanted to have you guys on because you guys have been doing, cloud is a thing. It's been a thing for a number of years now, but it's still new to a lot of people. And even the folks that have been using it, there's lots of stuff learned. You guys have been doing some really interesting things, both in terms of, books and training that you're delivering and videos that you're recording. Like talk about some of that.
Well, I'll start it off and then I'll lead into Anna how we got involved together. So we've been working together for a while, but in 2019, you can't say last year. You want to say last year, right? You can't say last year. In 2019, we had launched SQL 19, and I found myself in December on campus meeting with my manager, and I did the worst thing you can do as an employee at Microsoft is ask your manager, is there anything I can do to help you or help on the team? And he said, oh, well, why don't you spend some time in the cloud? I'm like, oh, man, I knew that was coming. So I went on this journey of doing what I call an assessment of Azure SQL compared to SQL Server. I said, okay, I know SQL Server pretty well. Why don't I literally go into a very detailed comparison of all the aspects of SQL Server and compare it specifically to PaaS, right, to Azure SQL Database and Managed Instance. And so, kind of in the January timeframe, Ann and I were in a meeting and she kind of found out I was doing this and she said, hey, would you be willing to work together on some training on this? And then I think, Anna, you should take the tail from there.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I guess this would be beginning of 2020, so kind of before all our worlds got turned upside down. But I was working on trying to build out some content so people could get hands-on with Azure SQL, because for SQL Server developers, there was always Developer Edition. So there was always a free way to get hands-on with SQL Server. Now, with Azure SQL Database, Azure SQL Managed Instance, even VM, like that became less of a thing. Maybe if you had a specific SKU or you happened to hit the Azure free trial the first time at the right time, you could play with it for a few hours or a few months. But, I found out about what was happening in Microsoft Learn, where they have this sandbox where you can get 4 hours to deploy basically anything in Azure and get hands-on for free without that. So I was working pretty hard to try to get Azure SQL on Microsoft Learn so that people could get hands-on for free. So that's kind of where it started. And, I was talking to a lot of people, and we have a lot of people who know SQL Server really, really well. And then, they move to Azure SQL and they're not really sure. There's a lot of different options. But I think one of our main goals was like, hey, let's translate your expertise to Azure SQL and also show you some of the cool things or new things that we do in the cloud. And this was a big project, especially because for me, you know, I had only been working on SQL Server for a year, so I didn't really know where this journey was going to take us. So as soon as Bob said he was looking at something similar, I was like, yeah, let's work together.
It was crazy what happened, guys, because honestly, we started out with like slide decks, you know, GitHub repos, things of that nature. And then Anna was saying, hey, behind the scenes, I'm going to try this Microsoft Learn thing. And I'm like, I didn't even use Microsoft Learn. I didn't know what it was. So I'm like, OK, sounds good to me. And then when she dropped a bomb on me that we might be able to use a free sandbox, now all of a sudden I got my interest really piqued because people could go learn our content and they wouldn't have to pay for it. Right. Whereas as she just said, developer edition for SQL, you download it. We can do training all day long. But that was such an amazing thing to get accomplished. And quite frankly, to be honest with you, Anna, I don't know if you say, but the pandemic helped accelerate this because we had plans to go on the road and do some of this stuff. And now all of a sudden we had to go to 100% digital. And, you know, Microsoft Learn, getting that done out of the gate was just a critical part. We had the GitHub repo done as well. And we had a slide deck, a massive slide deck type thing. But getting into Learn was really, really critical. And then one day she, you know, in the summer said, well, we're doing pretty well here. So, Bobby, would you like to record some videos? You know, I'm like, sure. Like, couple? No. 60.
So you guys are 60 plus now.
Oh, yeah. Wow. We've done many, many videos. But, yeah, we did a 60 video series. They're like 5 minutes each. So any piece of Azure SQL you want to learn, you can go learn it. Or you can go, you know, watch the whole series, which is ideally what we want. And then we've done a series of boot camps. So we go live on YouTube for like 2 hours at a time and just walk through the content. It's been a lot of fun. And it's been a fun, interesting way to connect with a lot of people in a time where that's not really as common as you would hope.
So, you know, you talk about 5 minute videos. So you're saying, so you take some feature, some capability of Azure SQL and deep dive on it in those 5 minutes. Is that sort of the intent of any one of these videos?
Yeah, it's kind of chunked out that way. And it's funny, I'll let Bob explain, but you know, we really built the series to be about the meat and potatoes of SQL Server in Azure. And so that's kind of how we focus the different modules and then, you know, our little deep dives, like you might say.
Yeah, everything's modularized. So the learn path has got modules like what is Azure SQL, deploy and configure, security, performance, availability, and then how to put it all together. So it all started that way with the deck and everything, and then learn went that way. And then if you look at all these videos, they're all organized in those modules. And we were talking about how to organize the videos, and I said, Anna, deploy and configure is great, but we got to do meat and potatoes. And she's like, is that like a Texas thing? I mean, what is the meat and potatoes? And I said, oh, that's a Connor Cunningham quote. Maybe you guys have heard of Connor Cunningham, our lead architect. Connor, one time, I was trying to go demo something at the PaaS Summit on some sort of wacky new advanced thing on SQL. And Connor goes, Bob, stick to the meat and potatoes, security, availability, and performance. And so that's really the heart of what a lot of the training's about.
Yeah, so I'm just kind of curious. This one is more maybe a bit subjective from y'all's perspective. But what do you find from people who are used to the traditional SQL world moving into Azure? Like, what are the areas where they really trip up or struggle the most? And you know, how do we kind of combat that? Or you know, do you think that that's just because maybe feature that isn't there that they're used to that they would depend on? I'm just kind of curious, you know, where do y'all see those gaps? Because obviously this is trying to fill some of those, I would assume.
Anna, take your first shot at it.
Yeah, sure. I mean, the first thing that comes to my mind at that question is really just mindset, like just helping SQL Server and just general data professionals understand that, like, at the end of the day, this thing is 90%, 90 plus percent just SQL, just the same SQL they've been working with. Yeah, there's some benefits that, you know, we help with the headache side of things, but for the most part, it's still SQL. They still have their jobs. There's still lots for them to do and learn and expand. And like, I think really what we want to do is just bring them to the cloud with us, as opposed to leaving them feeling like they don't have a space here.
Kendall, that was our number one objective, actually. Because Anna, when I first met, she's like, she has this term for me called hyper-focusedness, where I get really detailed, right? And she's like, Bob, this is all really cool, but like, what are we really after? And I said, to be honest with you, for me personally, I wanted to become comfortable with Azure SQL based on my SQL Server knowledge. Like, I wanted to make sure this wasn't just something so out of touch for me that I couldn't do. So So imagine us, for example, in these trainings, going after something like dynamic management views, a very common feature in SQL to diagnose and look at SQL Server. We just show you it's just the same. And by the way, here's some new ones that we throw in there that make sense in the PaaS world. But we even do stuff that's really, really cool. Like we go after availability, a huge topic, a really hard thing for SQL admins to set up. And then we show you the power of how great it is of what we put behind the scenes to make this just available for you by clicking a button. So we make them comfortable. We also show the power of what's possible to kind of make their job a lot easier. I mean, that's a huge thing. And then one thing that we were just blown away by is certification. So there's a DP300 certification. You guys have seen that one out there a little bit. And I can't even begin to tell you how many people have contacted me and said on public settings, private emails saying, oh, I took your training. It's all I did. And I passed the certification.
Yeah.
That's been huge.
For clarity, just for customers who don't know what DP is, that's data professional, I believe, right? Data professional exams. So you can get certified in some of these topics. So definitely, you know, this is a great resource for that. It's good to know. I have one more question, then I'll pass it to Sajid. And this one's more hot seat because I literally just had this conversation with the customer. Curious, when a customer is moving from SQL on-premises, yeah, Evan's laughing because it's like, okay, take advantage. But one of the things I know isn't necessarily, you know, full parity is the like SQL Server reporting services. Like, I don't think that actually is something that moves into SQL and Azure. So I'm curious, like, what is the more cloud native or Azure centric way to do data reporting? And that you don't have to give me, like, maybe it's in one of your videos, but that's something I'm currently interested in learning.
Yeah, I mean, I can take a stab at that, and Bob can, of course, add on. You know, my experience is like, yes, SSRS or SQL Server Reporting Services doesn't come built into Azure SQL Managed Instance or Azure SQL Database, your PaaS type offerings. However, we do have some things that we do to try to make that move to the cloud easier. For example, back in November, we released SSRS VM, so it makes it easier for you to kind of lift and shift over into a VM while you try to figure out what the next step is. Of course, ultimately, we're thinking you want to end up in something like Power BI. But even that shift, you know, Power BI does support things like paginated reports. So if that's something you were using in SSRS, you can kind of baby step your way to the cloud. And, you know, it's similar with Azure SQL by itself. Like we say, you know, if you really need everything that SQL Server has, then just go to SQL Server in a VM and you can get that. And then, you know, as you progress and modernize and figure out, oh, actually, I want to move to something like Azure SQL Managed Instance or in the other case, Power BI, then you can do that. And the other thing I'll say, they have SSRS VMs, but they actually have SSRS VMs that have SSRS and SQL Server, the version you pick, already pre-installed all together. So we are trying to make it easier. Hopefully that helps.
That was literally all I needed to know. Thank you.
Kendall, it's actually a bigger question, right? Because SQL Server gives you the license to have other BI services, analysis services, SSIS, SSRS. So it is fair. People ask us like, well, hey, I do all this kind of stuff. How do I make this move? And, you know, we do focus on the fact that Managed Instance and Azure SQL Database are the engine. That's really the focus. But, for example, SSIS has a nice functionality to integrate pretty well with things like Managed Instance and Azure Database. And, of course, AS, that team has now Azure services that you can actually move to. I'm not sure if you mentioned, one thing we did do is cut just a little bit of a bridge, is you can host the SRS databases itself in Managed Instance. So if you want to use SSRS in the cloud and you want to put the databases in the to get that PaaS capability, like all that great availability, that's something. I think you demoed that, didn't you, last year?
Yeah. Good catch. Forgot to mention.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. Anna's made so much content. She's like, you know what? I've done it all. At some point, in some world.
Exactly.
Awesome. I'll pass it over to Sajid now.
Thanks, Kendall. Yeah. So is this all these videos, are they all focused on for admins or for developers or for both? Like, who's the typical audience that should be looking at these videos? That's the first part of my question. Go ahead.
It's interesting you say that because, again, our initial thought was you're a SQL Server professional. A lot of people are mostly administrators that are in that role. There are some developers, obviously. So our whole goal was just to kind of compare SQL Server to Azure SQL, right? And a lot of it feels like an administration time point view. However, like at the very last module, we do things like putting it all together. And part of it has to do with how you would implement a solution, how you would take advantage of other Azure services. And then I know Anna started to kind of think in her head, like, how do I go after more the developer mindset? Because we kind of think Azure SQL Database can be a great landing, even for like brand new developers, right?
Yeah, we're working on some new content. Hopefully it'll land around build. But the new content is really about like full stack development. And what does that mean if you're new to Azure or if you're new to Azure SQL? And I think really the point there is not to highlight Azure SQL, but highlight everything else and just, oh, Azure SQL happens to work really well for all these things and does all these things I didn't know, like it was a modern database. So that's kind of the next venture. So I'd say what we did was focused on your SQL Server people, and what we're doing is now, you know, trying to get more of that developer audience.
Yeah, and then this kind of follow-up to that is, which was the topic that was the most challenging to explain in these videos? You know, because, again, SQL Server is such a complicated topic all by itself. I'm sure you can't just put everything into 5-minute digests.
Yeah, there were definitely spots where I was like, wow, we got to take it up a level.
And I think I could say, based on our experiences together, is networking.
Oh, yeah.
Anna did all the, quite frankly, I'm going to give her credit. She did all the work for networking for us. And we debated back and forth. We were like, Anna, you know, these people aren't networking gurus. Like, what are we going to do? So we had this balance of trying to build the right slides with diagrams and demos. If you go look at those videos, the work that Anna did is just killer. It's really good stuff.
Thank you.
So I'm not even though we are recording a video today, I'm not a video person. Can I go read this stuff somewhere as well? Like, I'm much more likely to do that.
Yeah, I mean, this is all on Microsoft Learn, so we'll share a link for your show notes if you guys do those, but aka.ms/Azure SQL Fundamentals. It's a whole learning path. You can read the whole thing without having to look at our faces at all. Definitely an option, and then you can have your own time and all that stuff. And in addition to that, we have some books. Bob wrote a book around the same time.
Like paper. Actual paper.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. I mean, but before we talk about a book, I mean, again, we started with a GitHub repo and a slide deck, right? We didn't even think videos. We didn't think learn. So if you think about what we've done, it's across all paradigms. It's a GitHub repo, which you can fork. It's a slide deck. It's a learning path, the sandbox. It's 60 videos. We are actually right now in the middle of a Learn Live boot camp over the next 6 weeks. We just did the first one last Monday. We can send you that link as well. And then we said, what the heck, let's write some books. I had written a book on SQL Linux in 2018 and then SQL 19 in 19. So I decided last year to spend the entire year writing this Azure SQL Revealed book, which is, you know, kind of taking all the stuff we just told you and then just going even deeper. It's a fun history. Evan, I think you and Eve and I interviewed you and talked to you about it. I did a history chapter in the very first one. That took the longest. I had to go back and interview people that don't work at Microsoft anymore. To go back and look at the history of Azure way back in the 2008, 2010 days.
Because that's so long ago, but it feels like it.
Yeah. Yeah, so I was going to ask, one thing that you know, that I work with a lot in the cloud native space is kind of this bringing down of like the Azure Arc data services model running, you know, some of these things on Kubernetes. So I'm kind of curious, you know, is that a space that you'll touch? Is it something that you think you'll do some education around, because it's definitely something that a lot of my customers are kind of playing around with on these more like edge devices or local Kubernetes clusters. So, yeah, just curious about that.
Yeah, turns out, you know, good segue there, Kendall. Good job. Checks in the mail. Yeah, you know, Azure Arc enabled data services involve kind of that Azure feel with something like a managed instance, a SQL Server in a container Kubernetes environment. And our team owns that. So we're definitely can we duplicate the model of a learning path and so forth for that technology? So yeah, stay tuned.
Yeah, maybe we can collab from the app side. We can bring some customer scenarios, because I mean, that really is what we're seeing, right? We're seeing customers bring data down because they're running, you know, these Kubernetes workloads. So yeah, who knows? Maybe there's a collab in the future, you know?
Yes, please.
We'll have to interview you, Kendall, then, instead of you doing the interviewing.
Go.
At that point. This is great. I think I mean it a little bit in jest, but also there's a serious point to this. You know, Anna, like so you're relatively new to this world, relatively new to Microsoft. I also have a child older than you, so I'm right with Bob there. Have you ever used SQL Server in the on-premises world, like for as a part of a job, or are you like all cloud, you know, that's sort of what you know?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, I actually come from a data science background. So before I was on this team, I was part of the AI platform team. So doing a lot more development around, you know, Azure machine learning services, cognitive services for working with developers. So I definitely came into this like more with a developer or data scientist hat than a data hat. But that being said, I came over to the team to work on SQL Server 2019, specifically the ML side of it. So I would say I've had to learn a lot in the past few years, but I mean, that's just being in tech these days. So, it's been a great journey. And last year, I even got the pleasure to work with a few members of the team to write this book called another book, Practical Azure SQL Database for Modern Developers. And what I think was so interesting about that is like the perspective of having, I haven't been doing this for 20 years is really useful in identifying like, hey, that's actually a confusing topic, or that's something most people won't know about. So I think it's been, it has its ups and downs to being relatively new to a space. But overall, like the community is so wonderful. The team is so wonderful that, you know, I really don't notice it that much any more than anyone else, just learning to keep up with all the changes going on. And
I think that's cool because it sort of speaks to, you've got on one end, you've got Bob, who I think when we talked before, you were around for like the first release of Microsoft SQL Server, pretty close to it, right? And now you're doing this cloud stuff.
OS 2.1.1. Yes, I remember it well.
And then Anna, you're kind of coming the other way, and like these really long traditions, SQL Server and cloud are coming together, and now you sort of have the best of both worlds, right? You get the benefit of cloud, but all the depth and expertise that goes with SQL Server and all the engineering, sort of rigor behind it and all that. I mean, that's great. No, that's great to see.
Yeah, and I was just going to call out here, sorry, Sajeev, because the topic I know is going to change, but Anne and I were talking about this before. Anne and I started together at Microsoft almost 5 years ago in like a couple of months in Charlotte, North Carolina. Yeah, both in consulting. But yeah, just big kudos to Anne and the way that your career has grown at Microsoft. And I know it's always just like, I get a lot of the same questions in my space. And I just think it's cool to see how many of us have started at Microsoft and grown these careers, which is, I think, just a call out to Microsoft, the culture here and the learning mindset and all of that. So just kudos. I've been really impressed and love watching your career journey on LinkedIn and Twitter. And so just had to call that out. It's always fun.
Yeah. Thank you, Kendall. And I mean, likewise, back to you. I mean, look at all the things you're doing and where you come from and where you are now. So it's cool that we have this culture. I agree, of just like growing together. And, you know, just because you're new doesn't mean you can't make an impact. So, yeah.
So, Anna, you were with MCS initially. Is that you were Microsoft Consulting?
Yes. Yeah.
See, all the great people start with Microsoft Consulting. So was I.
I think CSS may be the place where all the great people started.
CSS. I'm actually currently working with a financial services customer. And we're setting up the SQL Server geo-redundancy system, with failover groups in Azure and all over the world. It's working great. Failover groups is like the gold standard for disaster recovery, right? I think all other services in Azure compare themselves to that, which is a great testament. But, I just stumbled upon this thing called Azure Data Studio, which was pretty amazing. And do you guys have any, how do I not know about this before? Do you guys have any topics or videos that cover this, this part of SQL Server?
Yeah, I mean, I'll say like lots of our videos, the learning path, the book, they all contain gems from Azure Data Studio, whether it's getting started, using notebooks. So I don't know if you all knew this, but we basically took the Python notebook kernel and said, well, we want to do PowerShell notebooks. We want to do SQL notebooks. And so that's been really cool to see that evolve. And then also, shameless plug here, I host a show on YouTube and Channel 9 called Data Exposed, and we do lots of episodes that involve Azure Data Studio. Alan Yu, who's the program manager for Azure Data Studio, he comes on my news updates every month to talk about the latest things in Azure Data Studio. And if anyone's interested in the show, since I'm talking about it now and I have your ears, we go live on Learn TV on Wednesdays at 9 Pacific every week. And we also release new episodes on Thursday. So I'll drop a link to you all to share out and would love to see you guys there. So,
Anna, when the Data Exposed site crashes, you're welcome.
Right. Oh, right. Right. I wish.
Watch your traffic.
The funny story about Azure Data Studio is we kind of made a pact that I did, even though there's some exceptions. But I said, Anna, I'm going to use Management Studio during the whole time because all these diehard SQL people want to see me do that. If you will go crank out the notebook thing, if you go look at all of our demos and so forth, there's a large number of notebook examples using both PowerShell and T-SQL notebook.
That's amazing. Great. Thank you.
Yeah, that's awesome. This has been great. It's been great catching up, and I did not realize there are so many connections between this group. It's actually kind of funny. And you know, anything else that you want to leave the audience with?
Well, I would just say that people that are listening in, I don't know your entire membership of people listening to the podcast, but they're going to see the word SQL, and they're going to kind of wonder, you know, why, you know, is this just SQL Server? I think one of the things that we ended the training on, though, and this was a thing Anna had come up with, is let's end it not on it's just SQL, because that's what we just did for the first five modules. Let's end out how you can go bigger with this. So we even end with showing you these case studies and how to use IoT with Azure SQL and so forth.
Nice.
So we kind of end with, why is the cloud going to be a great advantage to you? Because so many people are just worried about getting there. But once you get there, like, how do you go bigger? So I think that's one of the things that was really great, how we ended the whole training session.
Yeah, that's great. Awesome. Well, no, again, thank you guys for coming on. We'll you know, make sure to get all the links from you guys. And like I said, when the Data Exposed site crashes, it wasn't us, I swear. thanks for coming on. And always, Anna, we expect you back in like, you know, 9 months and then 9 months after, because we gotta get you up to Bob's count.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'd love to come back. Thank you guys so much for having us on the show. This has been a lot of fun.
Sounds great.
Yes, thanks for having
us. And if you ever want to come on Data Exposed, you know, we could go both ways here.
Look at Kendall. Kendall's like, I'm going to get on that show.
Making it happen. I'm figuring it out.
Kendall, Sajid, anything last from you guys?
No, it's great. I know we open every time Bob comes on, he always talks about the next version of SQL. And so is there anything more we can look forward to, Bob, in SQL, in the SQL Server space? What's next? SQL 2022 coming on Azure? Or like, what can we look forward to?
Yeah, Sajid, thanks for ending on a really tough question. I really appreciate that. So you know what? I mean, really being serious, you know, we're always innovating this thing. I mean, when we finish SQL 19, we're already working on the next version of SQL Server. What you see in Azure SQL today is a lot of that innovation. We just got to figure out when the right time is to take that innovation that we're doing in the cloud and say, hey, you know, we need a new version of SQL Server. So we're not ready to announce anything right now, but trust me, it's a constant thing I work on. Like Anna knows, it's like every week I have this conversation about what is that latest innovation. But you should have some confidence that we love the cloud first mentality of trying that thing in the cloud first and then deciding, you know, how do we put it on the next version of SQL. So thanks for asking.
Great. Nice try for a scoop, Sajid. It was a good shot. Okay, great. No, we'll get the show links out and appreciate you guys coming on. Thanks.
Thanks, everybody.
Okay.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the show. If you have any thoughts, questions, or just want to connect, find us on Twitter at Azure Podcast. Background music has been taken from ccmixer.org under the Creative Commons license. We hope you'll tune in again soon to keep learning with us.